Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny kicks off with the big one at one. And yes, the Redskins are getting ready for the Cowboys. We just talked to a brand new reliever the Nats have brought in the last couple of weeks in free agency. You, of course, have the Caps who won last night defending the Stanley Cup. But there is smoke billowing from the Capital One Arena when the Wizards practice, apparently. It's a madhouse. Brian Oehringer is our guest on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He was the head video coordinator for Washington from 2013 to 2017, and he's now doing some scouting with the Hawks and the Raptors. He's been in the NBA for seven seasons in different capacities. Brian, you're on Grant and Danny. Thanks for the time. I guess let's start with, you've been in this thing behind the scenes. You've seen it. Some of the reports that came out are that, you know, Brad Beal is screaming he's been dealing with this, whatever this is, for 7 years. John Wall, who's the leader of the team, is cursing at Scott Brooks and getting fined. You got guys trying to fight each other. How bad do you think things are right now in the locker room for the Wizards? And when you were around the team, was any of this stuff going on?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to exactly how bad it is right now. You know, only the guys that are really in there truly understand and know what's going on. But, I'd say I wasn't as shocked as everybody else maybe by the news that came out yesterday about some infighting and practice fighting. That stuff's going to happen over an NBA season, especially when you're 5-8, 5-9, whatever it was at the time. You know, especially I would hope that happens, to be honest, when you're on a losing skid like that. I would hope guys are going at it with each other. So that's not altogether that surprising. What's surprising to me is just how little fight some of the guys are showing on the court, in the game, against Brooklyn, against Portland. I think they got to show a lot more competitiveness, at least out there.
Yeah, Brian, I'm with you. I actually was relieved to hear the guys were mad at each other. Thank goodness, because it shows that it's not apathetic, which is what their performance on court happens an awful lot. And by the way, if you're not following Brian and you like the NBA, you're making a mistake. He does incredible breakdowns and some really insightful, smart stuff that makes me smarter as a fan. But you had one thread the other day, Brian, about after a free throw, it looked like the Wizards were kind of getting ready for a town hall with like some free coffee and nobody knew what the hell was going on. They didn't get lined up and it was just this weird kind of non-play and it looked like nobody gave a damn about it. Go into that moment and then maybe some others that you're seeing that are like that when you watch this team play.
Yeah, you know, I try not to call out coaching too much, to be honest, and that's not really my place, but I think that was just one specific example that I did see that the team came out after a free throw and just didn't execute. I think that's a good time where the team's really got to be in sync and, you know, the coach calls a play and you go out and execute it. It's not like a live ball where you got to think really quickly on the spot. You got them shooting a free throw. You got time to think about it and make sure everybody's on the same page and get it done. So, you know, I'm not blaming a coach or anything like that. I just think that's something that, it might be on the team. They just might need to execute and pay attention better or know the spots better, but it's on everybody at that point. And I saw that. And then the main thread I had yesterday as well was kind of just questioning, like I said, the effort. I think looking at the Portland game, I've been really surprised, to be perfectly honest, by John Wall's effort. And I've said it and it's in the thread and it's all public that I love him personally. I think the world of him. I think he's a hell of a competitor. I know he's had injuries and things that maybe are affecting him a little bit, but to me, he just doesn't look to be playing with that same fire and passion right now. He's just, you know, you can see he can still sprint. He can still play with speed offensively. He still pushes the pace, but then, you know, when it transitions to defense, it's just at a much slower speed. It's just with much less intensity and activity. And that's really concerning to me and shouldn't be happening at this stage in his career.
Brian Oehringer used to work with and for the Wizards in the video department. And here's the thing, Brian. It's about to get worse in terms of contract, too, for John Wall.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
making about $19.2 million right now. This super max second portion of his deal kicks in next year when he turns 29. And these are the salaries coming up in the next 4 years for him. $37.8 million, $40.8 million, $43.8 million. And way down the line in 2022, he's on the books for $46.8 million before he hits free agency. You mentioned kind of being alarmed by or surprised by the effort. Is that a choice? Is it health related? And is it the biggest problem that they're having right now? Because he's their leader, and this is when you look to him, and he's the guy that's got to get them out of this 5-11 rut where it looks like the wheels are coming off.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it is. I think, you know, first of all, I think if you're 11-5 right now and playing much better basketball, then nobody's talking about John Wall that way. Everybody's saying he deserves a Supermax, just like a Harden or a Lillard or a Kemba or any of those guys. I think John Wall, perfectly healthy, you know, is a top 5 or 10 point guard and is absolutely deserving of that kind of contract. You know, why he's not playing like that right now, I don't know. I know John's alluded in a couple interviews sometimes to fighting through some injuries, and I know he's had a lot of knee surgeries and I'm sure things that have plagued him, but to be perfectly frank as well, you know, he didn't start his career, at least with the best work ethic humanly possible. To his credit, he's improved that a lot over the years and come a really long way, but you know, he has some tendencies sometimes on the court, especially to get a little bit lazy and lethargic. You know, and it's on the other players, it's on the coach, it's on everybody to snap him out of that, but it's also on John. You know, like you said, as a leader, as a Supermax guy, you set the culture for your franchise, and you look at what guys like Lillard are doing in Portland, you know, holding everybody accountable, playing phenomenal basketball, getting everybody to buy in. That's what I think John needs to do with D.C., and you know, he's got to, before you can lead anybody else and bring any teammates with you, you have to show that you can do it yourself. So, you know, I know he's fighting through things, and if there's other things I'm not aware of, then, you know, it's possible. But if you're out there and you're capable, you just have to play with maximum effort whenever you can.
You know, those Portland losses, Brian, are particularly, I don't have the right word here, but it's like the Wizards are a funhouse mirror version of Portland. Two great guards and a bunch of Jags supporting cast, and Portland comes in here, runs you out of the gym. You're supposed to look like that, maybe even be the better version with another max guy and Otto Porter. I'm going to quote one of your tweets here. It says, but it's time. John Wall needs to play better and harder. There's no more excuses, just results. No more talk of pride. Do it. He doesn't look like he's in good enough shape right now. He can't make a jumper. His free throw percentage is bad, and assists are way down. And you can't blame Marcin Gortat anymore. Remember, that was supposed to be the problem. That was the cancer. That's been removed, and all the same problems don't persist. What's going on with John Wall in your best estimation?
Well, that's a billion-dollar question, isn't it? You know, I don't know. I mean, everything that you read there is my belief that, you know, you can't talk about pride. You can't talk about guys looking in the mirror and all those things until you do it yourself. You know, and I do believe that. I think, you know, maybe he is a little banged up. Maybe some of those things are affecting him. But he also doesn't look to me like he's in the best shape in the world. Free throws, you know, he shouldn't be down to a 70% free throw shooter at this point in his career. You know, in Portland, I saw them playing him, I said, like Ben Simmons, you know, they're defending him 5 or 6 feet off, that he can't make a jumper at all. And that's surprising to me. You know, he kind of started his career that way, but then built up his mid-range, extended it out to three, and was able to really make shots. And now guys are playing 5-10 feet off him, just giving him a huge head of steam. I think, you know, I'm sure the Wizards will say he's working hard, and I'm sure he is working hard, but if you're putting in as much work as humanly possible and really all in the gym, you know, I think shots like that are things that should be within your control. And it was just surprising to me, you know, you see all this talk about summer of separation and all the things he said, which sound great, and he, you know, I think he gets pissed off at the media and the rankings and people underrating him. And I love that about John. I hope he uses it as fuel to motivate himself. But then at the same time, if you come out and don't perform at all, and to me just looks like you're kind of just going through the motions, and, you know, the coach has to put in the five guys off the bench that'll play harder for the whole fourth quarter, that's, you know, you just gotta look in the mirror and change it.
Brian Oehringer was on the film staff with the Wizards for the last several seasons here on Grant and Danny, and you're reading between the lines. It sounds like you're saying the effort for John Wall is not there, and here's what I guess my response is, he makes too much money and he's too important for that to be the case.
Can't have it.
You can't have your best player and your highest paid player not trying hard enough and be good at basketball. It's just too difficult in the NBA. Brian, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Brian.
Absolutely. There's Brian Oehringer here on Grant and Danny. He wrote a scathing piece. He really did. He brought some analysis, and he brought some fire in the piece that you just read.
Yeah, basically going through his Twitter feed. Again, it's outstanding. He appropriately calls guys out. A couple folks have just accused him of sour grapes because he's no longer working directly for the Wizards. That's nonsense. You're deciding
works
not
for
to,
two teams right
yeah,
now.
You're deciding not to embrace the content. The content is there. If you don't agree with the opinion, Godspeed, that's fine. But it matches up with what we're seeing on a nightly basis.
So let's delve deeper into some of the news that has come out on the Wizards from Candace Buckner, from The Athletic, all kinds of reporting done last 36 or so hours on John Wall screaming at Scott Brooks and getting fined, Bradley Beal yelling at team officials that he's tired of dealing with nonsense, that you know guys have apparently been at odds in practices. It's getting bleak early, and it's getting late, and it's only November for this team. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I'm a Ted Britt guy. It's Danny Ruelle from my pals at Ted Britt Ford. Nothing down. No down, zero down. However many ways you slice it, you don't have to pay anything up front at Ted Britt Ford. That's right. Zero down November. What does that mean? What does it mean? It's a Black Friday sale, but it's going on all month long, and it's happening right now. No gimmicks, no games, no hidden fees, no kidding. So the price is the price. You just owe for taxes and tags, and Ted Britt covers the rest. It's awesome. Get you a great deal on your trade-in as well. How about 120% Kelley Blue Book value? That's on the regular, man. It's the best buying experience in the D.C. area. I should know. I've done it not once, but twice. That's right. Two Ted Britt Fords in the Ruelle family. You can't beat it. The best selection, best service centers, as far as I'm concerned. Fairfax and Chantilly, click away at TedBritt.com. These guys are awesome. Some of these deals, let me give them to you. Echo Sport, $229 a month, 36 months, nothing down. How about a Mustang, $299 a month? Again, 36-month lease, zero down. Explorer, $379 a month for 36 months, which you guessed it, zero down. You got to go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. When you go, tell them Danny sent you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The amount of people who care about the Wizards seems to dwindle all the time in this town. There's a lot of reasons for that. Right now they're playing bad basketball. That doesn't help. They are, at this moment, 5-11. Only the Bulls, Knicks, Hawks, and Cavaliers have a worse record in the Eastern Conference. Upcoming for the Wizards, games with the Clippers, very good. The Raptors, outstanding. The Pelicans, much better than them. The Rockets, who have gotten going after a terrible start. And then they play the Pelicans again, the 76ers. They don't have a weak opponent, really, before they get the Nets. And it's not like the Nets are awful.
The Nets just finished beating their brains in a couple nights ago.
But that's the start of December. That's seven games from now. They just went through the stretch where they were supposed to have turned their season around. It didn't happen. There are reports that at a recent practice, among other things,
yep,
players are screaming at each other. John Wall curses at Scott Brooks. He gets fined. Bradley Beal yells, and I think it was team
Austin
officials.
Austin Rivers.
Well, I'm talking about the team officials.
Yeah, so he and Austin Rivers, who were high school rivals, get into it because Rivers wanted a foul called, and Beal told him to
weird
to quit.
That Austin Rivers is fitting in swimmingly, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, to quit whining. And then, you know, tempers flare, and they raise, and then Beal addresses to no one in particular. I've been dealing with this blank for 7 years. It starts at the top.
Here was Beal at shoot-around today with reporters talking about the practice in question.
Oh, please, not all at once.
Brad, what happened in practice last week for you guys?
What happened in practice happened in practice. Practice is closed. Practice is not a public thing. It got heated. You guys know that. Practice, I mean, it's happened in this organization, every organization around the league, high school, college, it happens. You guys argue. It is what it is. You know?
What do you make of this team's culture?
What do I make of it?
Yeah.
I feel like our culture is, I mean, it's what we created it to be. I mean, he put, basically, he tore the team apart and created a new team, you know, starting with John, you know, as the foundation, you know, created into what we are now. You know, we're a team that's a playoff team, you know, but
wow,
we've struggled.
Go back,
you know, we've
real
had
quick.
A fair share.
That's insane. That is everything. Go back to the beginning of the question. I don't know if that's Matt Pierce or who that was from the Washington Times. But he says, it's an amazing question. That is a perfect question. What do you think of your culture? Open-ended, let the guy talk. short and sweet and kind of catch him and make him answer. And he and you'll hear it again in a second. I feel like our culture is, and he won't even allow himself to lie and say, just say, I think our culture is good is what you would say. No. This is why I love Bradley Beal, by the way. Because he doesn't really suffer fools. This is my take on him.
Yep.
He is not one of the clowns in that locker room.
He's always tried to rise above that crap.
And even John Wall, who I don't think is a clown shoe. He's not a McGee. He's not a JaVale a Swaggy P, Nick Young idiot. What he is, though, is he's part of the problem to me more than Brad Beal is from a cultural standpoint.
100%.
And you can hear Beal say, I feel like our culture is, and he literally just puts the blame on, he says, what we created it to be when we built this whole thing around John Wall. That's what he says. Listen to this.
I feel like our culture is, it's what we created it to be. He tore the team apart and created a new team, starting with John, as the foundation, created into what we are now. We're a team that's a playoff team, but we've struggled. We've had our fair share of struggles, but I wouldn't say that we're a team that's not in unison. I wouldn't say we're a team that hates each other. I say it every game. We're in the locker room and there's positive energy. It's not like I hate the next man and the next man hates that man. It's none of that. It's just figuring it out on the floor. But, we just can't seem to put it together.
Danny, I want to just tee you up and let you roll here. But here is what – tell me where I'm crazy. We're about to do this whole thing where everyone gets ripped apart and we find the – like we're looking for blood.
Yeah.
So John Wall's going to be the guy that we all feast on. Ernie Grunfeld is basically – all that we need to talk about.
Of course.
He's created all of
it. Absolutely. It's his culture. So this is Beal's version of the Jay Gruden. They're playing statement, basically.
Yep.
He knows the culture sucks, and it starts at the top, and it's Ernie Grunfeld's culture. Now, Ernie is to blame for everything, and every day he's on the job is an insult to the few Wizards fans that remain. Again, it is a travesty. He was extended. It is wrong. He should be fired. Every time he comes into the office, it's wrong. This organization is wrong, and it's frustrating to those of us that still give a damn. There aren't as many of us as there used to be, thanks to some goodwill that you engendered with a few playoff appearances and four first-round victories in 15 years. Congrats on the back padding.
Where do you think – let's say there used – I'm just round numbers.
Uh-huh.
Let's say there used to be 100,000 Wizards fans. How many are there now?
50.
50,000?
Yeah.
Like, you think the fan base is basically shrunk in half?
Absolutely. People that give a damn. While tickets have gotten more expensive and the product has gotten worse, frankly, it's exasperating. Ted Leonsis' own manifesto on how to win clearly goes against what's been taking place several times over. Ask yourself, this is from Ted, the big question, can this team as constructed ever win a championship? The answer is no. If the answer is yes,
absolutely not.
Stay the course and try to find the right formula. If the answer is no, then plan to rebuild. Don't fake it. Really do the analytics and be brutally honest. They haven't been. So the part that's on Ted Leonsis, who, by the way, I like, who's been very kind to me in the past, and I think he did a wonderful job with the Capitals for so many years.
Brought me a Stanley Cup.
100%, and he will be indebted. I'll be indebted to him forever for that. He's at fault here in the sense that, yes, he continues to employ Grunfeld, which is wrong. I don't know what point he's trying to prove. But the other part is he's never given Grunfeld the full, you've got my unwavering support for years. Now, he shouldn't do that because Grunfeld is incompetent and should not have his job. But a GM that's truly empowered for long terms can make bold moves instead of these short-term fixes that violate the very tenets of building that Ted Leonsis lays out in his manifesto on how to build a team. In other words, every fix that Ernie Grunfeld has undertaken has been to clean up his own mess, and it's been short-term, short-term, short-term. Everything from selling off second-round draft picks, moving on from first-round picks three times in 4 years, spending huge money on Andrew Nicholson, on Jason Smith, and Jan Mahimi because their one plan to get Kevin Durant didn't work out, which, by the way, was a reasonable plan. And because it didn't work, they had no backup. Every fix they make and every move they make is defensible in a little teeny tiny vacuum, but when taken as a whole, you are stuck in a mediocre, disgusting pile of this. Whatever this is the culture that you have wrought. You look at his record, deserves to be fired. This is Ernie Grunfeld. You look at the moves that he's
draft
made
history.
Over the course of years, deserves to be fired. Lack of draft picks deserves to be fired. Everything from Jan Vesely 2 years after the Randy Foy and Mike Miller fiasco deserves to be fired. Any criteria that's imaginable for an executive in this basketball league, he deserves to lose his job. Any which way you slice it. Again, pick record, pick moves, pick poo in the shoe, pick guns in the locker room, pick anything that has happened under his watch, justify to remove his job. And now this culture where John Wall, who I love and have defended, has objectively gotten worse as a player since his third-team All-NBA season 2 years ago.
How much of it do you think is Wall is done with Ernie? Is done? I don't even know about Scott Brooks, but he looks around and he
goes,
are you kidding me?
I'm going to get to it. he signs that contract and starts talking about wolf season and whatever season this is and that and the other thing. And he gets mad. He has a chip on his shoulder talking about Wall at his slights when it comes to NBA circles. And that's just fine and dandy. Well, when that doesn't result in you being in shape, executives have privately wondered whether his partying lifestyle will catch up to him in the second half of his career. That's a thing. He's not changing it for anybody. Well, good for you. You've lost a step for the second straight year. You are not in good enough shape. You blamed everybody else. You have been a cancer in the locker room. That is something that has gone unchecked under Ernie Grunfeld's leadership, and I put that in quotation marks. He has allowed these attitudes of "we have arrived" to fester. You look at other organizations that are truly good. Look at what Toronto has done. Not everyone gets to be Golden State, but look what they did a couple years ago. They weren't satisfied with being pretty good, so they blew Mark Jackson out the same way that Toronto just moved on from the coach of the year, because being pretty good isn't good enough. They are complacent. They are content to just be mediocre. Making the playoffs apparently is the most important thing. This is not other sports. This is the NBA. If you don't truly have a chance to win a championship, you are doing it wrong unless you're acquiring assets. They have spit on assets. They've moved on from them time after time after time. And when they have somebody that they decide we're going to count on, they will be over the salary cap with only three players on the roster signed next year in terms of that big three. They have failed every measurable that you would have to try to build a successful organization. And the man that is the architect of that, empowered by Ted Leonsis, continues to collect a paycheck, and it is an insult to those of us that give a damn about this franchise. I beg you, for all that is right, for all that is available to you in terms of resources, even if it's just a symbolic gesture, fire this man today. Do it tonight. Give Wizards fans some reason that there may be some hope instead of this cursed, damned, salary cap stuck, immobile unit that will trot out the mediocrity at best over the next three or four seasons, because you are stuck, you are in hell, you created this for yourselves. Please do something to undo it. The fact that guys are, quote-unquote, starting to be available is something that's now rumored. They're not moving on from anybody. You know why? Because nobody wants them. Because they're tainted. They're broken. No one wants the 15% trade kicker for John Wall. No one wants $47 million on the back end. The only guy they want is Bradley Beal, because he's done his best to rise above this bullcrap that you festered and had around him for these seven seasons. Again, congrats on all the success that you've had. Four playoff wins in 15 years, and they act like they're the seven-time defending NBA champions. Fire Ernie Grunfeld. It's the only acceptable thing to do. Blow this group up because they hate each other, and it's not fun to watch. Start anew. Live by the metrics that you yourself set out, Ted Leonsis, so many years ago. You were right then, and you could be right now. Please do this. I beg you. Back to you, Grant.
He has been here since 2004.
He's in there with Danny Ainge, R.C. Buford, and Pat Riley. Yeah, which one of these is not like the other?
He got his job when I got my driver's license.
I'm sorry I shouted at you, man.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, I do.
He got his job when I got my driver's license.
By any measure. By
I'm
any
30.
Metric.
I'm a 30-year-old man.
By any measure or metric.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. You want to call in on the Wizards, you can do so next. 800-636-1067.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
For the Capitals, as they announced today, Brooks Orpik's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. He's having arthroscopic surgery. He was placed on long-term IR, which sounds worse than it is. It's just that you got to miss a minimum of 10 games, but it's going to be a lot more than that now, as he's already missed close to that, and he's going to miss another month at least.
I got the sense it was one of those things where they were trying to see if they could get it right. They were trying all sorts of rehab things, and then it's now basically like, yeah, it's not responding. Let's just start over again. Let's just use a knife and get it corrected.
Redskins getting ready for the Cowboys. We're now just 2 days away from Thanksgiving. Thursday football in Dallas. Colt McCoy meeting with the media as starter for the first time since 2014 at the podium today, saying he just needs to get the ball into the hands of his playmakers. He wants to be decisive, get the football out. And today at practice, he was focusing on just getting his teammates familiar with his cadence and some of the things he might do different in calling plays and getting them up to the line of scrimmage than Alex Smith does. If you missed our interview with Trevor Rosenthal of the Nationals, you'll want to go to thefandc.com or grantanddanny.com/audio. We got a surprise call from D'Angelo Hall today as well,
cool.
As we were talking about McCoy versus Smith. He brought up, I thought, maybe the best point anybody's made the last couple days, which is if we're just even willing to have the conversation, could Colt McCoy be an upgrade? That's a problem.
That's his point, and it's a great point.
And it's not meant to be disrespectful to Colt McCoy, but you paid Alex Smith $91 million to extend him. You gave up a third-round pick. That's not nothing. You gave up Kendall Fuller. That's far from nothing. You brought this guy in here. You committed 3 years to Alex Smith. If he can't play, your salary cap is a disaster from a quarterbacking standpoint because you either need to bring someone else in, and now you're paying close to $30 million for a McCoy-like starter. Or if he does play, maybe he's not quite the same. You're going to want to listen to what Hall had to say. It was interesting. But right now, we're spending more time on the Wizards than we have in months and probably than we ever should, to be completely honest with you. But they're in shambles, and three of you care. And I think you're on the phones right now. Drew is in D.C. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, fellas, man. Happy holidays.
You too, buddy.
Man, I'm so fired up with this. I mean, Danny, man, you hit it. I mean, you all hit it right on the nose. The easiest way to get out of this, Ted has whatever he has on Ted, man, he needs to just come to the forefront with it. You need to fire Ernie. You need to fire Scott Brooks because Scott Brooks is not an X's and O's coach. You need to hire somebody with some pedigree in here because this is the first time we had a bench. We got what we need to compete in the NBA. But these guys, you don't have nobody that's coaching them that has accountability.
But, Drew, do you have what you need to win? You could finish fifth or sixth in the East. Can you really hang with Boston or Toronto, who ran you out of the playoffs last year? Can you – I know LeBron's gone, but can you get to a conference final? I mean, to me, that should be what you ask yourself.
Look, I'm going to tell you like this. I think they have enough to push them to that point, and this is my reason why. I say all the time they should have had, Sam Cassell was very instrumental to developing John Wall when he was assistant coach, which a lot of people don't realize. I say you get a Sam Cassell and you get a Chauncey Billups as a GM. They have pedigrees. They done been to the mountaintop. They know what it takes to win, and they don't have no problem getting on these players. Bradley Beal is our best player on the team by far, but everybody dogs Otto Porter. But you played that soundbite of Bradley Beal, but it also goes beyond that. Bradley Beal was one of the first ones that says everybody eats when John Wall was out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That comment did not help probably his relationship with John Wall.
No, it's toxic.
The way that everybody kind of viewed it. You know what's weird is I find the team unlikable is the word I would use. It's hard to root for this group.
That wasn't the case.
I know that sounds weird.
No, it does. It's not weird at all because it's right. Again, think about a couple years ago when Paul Pierce was here and he couldn't believe that things were the way that they were.
Yeah.
How likable was that group?
I did like that group.
It was
I got in on that team.
It was a hard playing, get up and down, get in your face, not backing down from anybody, a group of underdogs that were punching above their weight class. They took Atlanta, who was a really good team, to the mat with John Wall with a broken hand.
But none of the players individually. I don't say that's a bad guy or I dislike that guy. It's just the collective group, how they play.
It's turned
I don't
sour.
Find it fun. I don't find it interesting. I think it's a bad product. And as someone who used to get home from school and for 3 hours a day shoot baskets in my backyard as Mitch Richmond, I just don't care that much about them right now.
Watch any team play. And I mean this. There are 29 other teams that do a version of this. You watch a team go on offense. Guys, even if they're not a good team, Phoenix, Minnesota, Atlanta, the Knicks, Chicago, guys are doing things, right? They're setting screens. They're trying. They're moving off the ball. Watch the Wizards off the ball. You don't realize what you're seeing, but you're seeing it. It's lazy, apathetic, don't give a damn. I'll go get mine at some point later on in this game. It's a group of guys that have disdain for each other and the process. And the other part of this is the caller mentioned Brooks. This is yet another in a line of, and I like Scott Brooks personally, but he's feckless, toothless, no bite to what he says because this organization is locked into these guys. He can threaten so many times before he's able to follow through on something. What should happen is one of these times where Wall pouts or doesn't try on defense or doesn't ole or reach around, try to get a steal when his guy beats him for the 50th time down the court or he launches a terrible pass somewhere. He should be benched. He should sit down. That's what the way it goes in this league, right? You need accountability from your best players. When you don't have a coach that is capable of having a hammer, even with a 7-year trillion-dollar deal because these guys are so locked in, Wall just knows. I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to outlast this guy. I'll outlast the next guy, too. You've screwed up, and it's a cultural problem that has persisted from the top down. Bill's absolutely right when he says that.
We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan, a triple header on Thursday for Thanksgiving. We can look ahead to the NFL schedule that looms. Also, a couple of notes from around the league today that we got to get you on our way out next.
Grant and Danny, for our friends at Window Nation. It's time. It's time to make this move, make the play. I made it. Grant made it. You too can make it. Lower those energy bills. Quit wasting money with your old drafty windows. It's time for you to pick up the phone and call Window Nation. Limited time. Two free windows with every two you buy. You buy four, you get four free. You buy six, you get six free. There's no limit, but that's not all.
That's not all. Window Nation, right now, giving you the two windows free that you just bought, as Danny told you. But they're also making sure that you're getting 0% financing for five full years. You got to save that well-earned money to use this holiday season on whatever you want. An estimated $40 million has been saved by customers in energy over the years. Save today, save tomorrow, save forever. Call Window Nation like I did, like Danny did. We do not regret that choice. 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
By the way, if you've been listening and enjoying our Wizards conversation over the last 45 or so minutes, you're going to want to hear the Junkies tomorrow at 8 a.m. Scott Brooks will be on with them.
Oh, buddy.
That will be must-listen radio. That is appointment listening. 8 a.m., Scott Brooks, after a report came out that John Wall cursed at him and got fined, and he's basically got players going at each other every practice.
Yeah. I mean, I always think those stories are par for the course over a season, but just with the context.
This is worse.
Where they're 5-11, and now this is happening, and other things are questioned. Not just two guys sniping at each other, not two guys barking at each other, but now there's shrapnel for the front office, for the coach, and everything else. This isn't just business as usual.
The NFL's business continues and picks back up on Thursday. Monday Night Football last night, thrilling, 105 points. The Rams, 54. The Chiefs, 51. One of the great games in regular season history. We've never seen two teams over 50. Previous to last night, prior to that game, 216 teams had scored 50 points and they'd all won. Now, teams that score 50 points are 1-216 because the Chiefs couldn't finish what they started. Thursday, Thanksgiving action. Here's your lineup. The Bears, who may not have Mitchell Trubisky, their second-year quarterback for Matt Nagy, 12:30 kickoff in Detroit against the Lions. Trubisky took a late hit, kind of a dirty shot, from Harrison Smith, I think it was. I hope I'm getting that right. With the Minnesota Vikings in primetime the other night. And was actually, according to Trubisky with reporters today, injured on that hit. So they're hopeful that he will play. I think he probably will. Reading between the lines, it sounds like they want to make a big deal about the hit that he took.
Yeah.
But there is a chance. Right now he's not 100%. He's not able to do things at practice that he normally would with a short week that he won't be able to go. If he doesn't, obviously the Lions would have a better chance to pull off an upset on Thanksgiving afternoon.
Which the Lions, by the way, just fresh off that win over Carolina. That's not getting a lot of
you believe
attention.
That?
I was frankly stunned by it. Carolina all of a sudden looked like they couldn't do anything on offense against one of the worst defenses the sport has. Detroit won the game. Carolina went for two at the end and had Cam Newton drop back and pat the football seven times and try to throw it. I don't know. Maybe you got the greatest goal line back in the world right now in the form of Cam Newton. Maybe you try something else.
I'm not blaming play calling. They had a wide open receiver and Cam Newton threw it 15 feet too high. You called a play that worked. That's the whole point. The whole point of the play is to get a receiver open and get an easy throw for your quarterback. They did that. They probably saw something that they said, hey, if we run this play, this guy's going to be open.
Guy's going to be open.
They did, and he was, and they lost. So I'm not blaming anybody but Cam Newton on that particular play. However, what shocked me about that game, Danny, they were coming off of that embarrassing loss to the Steelers.
And they had the snow practice.
That's normally galvanizing,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Isn't that typically where, I mean, the Panthers had just been annihilated by Pittsburgh. They've got Detroit. This is our get-right game.
Yep.
All right. We suffered a loss we shouldn't have in a way that was kind of revealing, but everyone's going to get their act together this week. And then they lost again to Detroit. So that's scary for them. Redskins, Cowboys, 4:30 kick in Dallas. We've been talking about it throughout the week. Can you stop Ezekiel Elliott? Can you force Dak Prescott, who's just okay, into obvious third and long passing scenarios? Can Colt McCoy protect the football? Will you be able to run the ball with Adrian Peterson? Some of the questions the Redskins are going to have to answer this week. And one of the great things the NFL's done over the last several years, they've made Thanksgiving Day a triple header. We get a night game. For whatever reason, it just works out generally that the night game never really is as good on paper as it's supposed to be at the beginning of the season. This could have been a division title type game with the Falcons playing the Saints. Atlanta is basically cooked. They could run the table and maybe squeak in as a wild card.
They got a lot of help.
But the Saints are on, and that just means you should watch.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the three offenses that you should watch at all times, every second of every game. Sean McVay's L.A. Rams. Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs. Sean Payton's New Orleans Saints. Saints hosting the Falcons at the Superdome.
Saints scoring almost 38 points a game. Just, again, just say that calmly and casually. The two offenses we saw last night, great. Not as good as the Saints on paper. Three teams have scored over 300 points, and the Saints have done it in one less game than those other two teams.
I don't like the Monday night game this week, by the way. Monday night game is Titans, who killed the Patriots a week ago and then laid a complete egg this past weekend, losing terribly. Texans. Now, Houston, the storyline here, all I'm sure Monday night buildup on ESPN is going to be that they're looking at that point for what would be an eighth straight win.
They could win the division right there, basically.
If you win eight straight games, I think you're probably really good. But the Texans are putting that to the test, aren't they? I mean, they are squeaking out wins without looking good in a lot of those games.
They got a lot of elements of goodness.
They
right?
do.
It's like one of those cookies where the recipe isn't quite right, but it's still got butter. It's still got chocolate chips. It's still got the vanilla extract.
But after the game they just played against the Redskins, do you go, I could see that team making the AFC title game. I mean, winning eight straight games, I'll bet you most of the teams over the years that have done that have at least won a playoff game.
Yeah, because they're usually like Patriots-type teams or the Steelers or you know, these Chiefs.
I could easily see them knocked off in the first round of the playoffs by a wild card team.
To me, their first team all win their first playoff game, really good competitive game, and then they have to go against an adult. Then they've got to go play New England, Kansas City, or something.
Yeah,
right?
And I would give them next to no chance in that game.
Nor would I. I mean, keep in mind, I mean, think of Tennessee, they won a playoff game last year. You know, that's the kind of stuff can happen where it's
they
like
beat the Chiefs who couldn't throw the ball in the second half.
Yeah, it's a nice fleeting moment and it's cool. It's neat for a franchise that's on the up and up, but come on. We all know. They're not ready to
surprise they
damage,
shut
right?
down Pat Mahomes in the second half of that game, by the way.
Yeah.
Looking at the AFC wildcard teams here just to see who they would play. You know what? They lose. They would play the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs right now. You picking the Texans to beat the Chargers?
I wouldn't.
Now, if they got Baltimore, could they beat Baltimore?
Absolutely.
I think so.
They could.
I think they could, too. By the way, that Ravens loss. You want to talk about losses you hold your nose and watch?
Mm.
Lamar Jackson throwing a forward pass is, let's see, a work in progress, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
He literally ran around like you're a high school football coach. You've got a bunch of athletes, and you need someone to play quarterback, and you're like, all right.
You're the best athlete.
You're the fastest. You're the best on the basketball court and on the baseball field and running track. You're going to be our quarterback. We're going to throw it nine times. You're going to run every down.
Lamar left, Lamar right, and then hand it to Gus. Gus Edwards, by the way. What the bleep is goony goo goo, Gus? All of a sudden, Gus Edwards out of nowhere. Ran for over 100 yards. And Lamar basically was 2012 Morrison and Robert Griffin.
Who is this man?
I don't know who Gus Edwards is. Gus Edwards sounds like a Big Ten basketball coach.
If you missed any part of today's show, I think worth your time on the podcast. Danny ranting on Ernie Grunfeld is always a slam dunk and a home run. Loved that. Trevor Rosenthal of the Nationals joined us. He was fun. D'Angelo Hall on Colt McCoy versus Alex Smith. Great. There's actually a write-up already on thefandc.com about that interview. Go read that. Jordan Shipley played with Colt McCoy at Texas, was also on the show. It was a blast of a conversation. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio to find those interviews.
Baseball Dukes is next. He's talking about there's discussion that Bryce Harper might move to first base if he goes to the Yankees. Dukes has a reason why that won't happen, and it's two words, GP, Greg Bird. Prognosis next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.